Well, the theme of our Resurrection Celebration Day is remember the joy of our salvation. And the theme the entire week, as John inferred to earlier, is proclaiming Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. And yes, the entire scripture has been proclaimed in this place this week. I know the walls are saturated, the seats are saturated, and I hope your hearts are saturated as well. And I just want to say thank you to all who proclaim Jesus through the reading of God's word. I would also say that the joy of our salvation and the proclaiming of Jesus are inseparable. The joy of our salvation and the proclaiming of Jesus are inseparable. One without the other is simply impossible. And all week we've heard humanity's story, our story, and God's story take on this continuous repeating theme. The creation of God by God of all that was good, and then humanity's selfishness and rebellion and sinfulness that brought despair and ruin and hopelessness. And then repeatedly there was this turning back to God for help, and then there would be a revelation of God's love and mercy and faithfulness, which brought new hope and salvation from sin and despair and destruction and death. And then after that revelation of God's mercy and love, then there would be celebrations of joy and deliverance from bondage and death, very similar, I think, to what we're experiencing here together today. And in the Old Covenant, it sounded something like this at times. And from Nehemiah 9, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting." And then they prayed, "May your glorious name be praised, may be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and the stars, and you made the earth and the seas and everything in them, and you preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him from the Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. And when he proved himself faithful, you made a covenant with him to give him his descendants the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites. And you've done what you promised, for you're always true to your word, God. You saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh and his officials and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. And you have a glorious reputation that has never been forgotten. You divided the sea for your people so that they could walk right through on dry land. And then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea, and they sank like stones in the mighty waters. You led your ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night so they could find their way. You came down at Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and instructions that were just and decrees and commands that were good. And you instructed them concerning the holy Sabbath, and you commanded them through Moses, your servant, to obey all your commands and decrees and instructions. And you gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn to them. Oh, but our ancestors, they were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. And so instead, they became stubborn and arrogant, and they appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But here we go. You're a God of forgiveness and gracious and merciful, slow to become angry and rich in unfailing love. And so you did not abandon them. And even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt. Oh, they committed terrible blasphemies. But in your great mercy, God, in your great mercy, did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. And you sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell. And then you helped our ancestors, you helped them conquer kingdoms and nations, and you placed people in every corner of the land. They took over the land of Sihon of Heshbon and the land of King of Og of Bashan. And you made their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land you had promised their ancestors. And they went in and they took possession of the land, and you subdued whole nations before them. Even the Canaanites who inhabited the land were powerless. Your people could deal with these nations and their king as they pleased. Our ancestors, they captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over houses full of good things with cisterns already dug and vineyards and olive groves and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate until they were full and they grew fat and they enjoyed themselves in all your blessings. But, despite all of this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. And they turned their backs on the law and they killed your prophets and warned them to return to you, and they committed terrible blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies who made them suffer. But in their time of trouble, what did they do? They cried out to you, and you have heard them from heaven. And in your great mercy, you sent them liberators who rescued them from their enemies. But as soon as they were at peace, your people again committed evil in your sight, and once more you let their enemies conquer them. Yet whenever your people turned and cried for help, again, you listened once more from heaven, and in your wonderful mercy, you rescued them many times. You warned them to return to your law, but they became proud and obstinate and disobeyed your commands. They did not follow your regulations by which people find life if they obey. They stubbornly turned their backs on you and refused to listen. Oh God, in your love, you were patient with them for many years. You sent your spirit who warned them through the prophets. But still they wouldn't listen. So once again, you allowed the people of the lands to conquer them. But in your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are. What a gracious and merciful God you are. So, a question. For those of us who have experienced and trusted in the love and the mercy of God's salvation from our captivity to sin and death, here's the question. Are we daily remembering the joy of our salvation? Are we daily remembering the joy of our salvation? Remembering the joy of our salvation keeps us focused on the one who does the saving. Let me say that one more time. Remembering the joy of our salvation keeps us focused on the one, the risen Jesus, who does the saving. Well, maybe you're wondering this morning what it means to be free, to live in the joy of your salvation. Maybe that hasn't been your reality. You haven't known or trusted Jesus to be the one who delivers you from despair to joy. So I just want to take a little walk through the Word with you this morning in the New Covenant. I read earlier from the Old Covenant. We just saw God's love and His mercy continually despite the waywardness of His people. And we're going to begin with the Apostle Paul spelling out our human problem and then walk through the way to live in salvation. And Paul just kind of dumps it out the way it is. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. And this good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it's through faith that a righteous person has life." And then Paul dumps it on us. He reveals it all. He says, "But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And they know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and they've seen the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise instead becoming utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. And so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. And even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. And since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness and sin and greed and hate and envy and murder and quarreling and deception and malicious behavior and gossip. And they're backstabbers and haters of God and insolent and proud and boastful. And they invent new ways of sinning. And they disobey their parents and they refuse to understand. They break their promises. They're heartless and have no mercy. And they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Like I said, Paul just dumps the whole human condition right out there. 1 John 1, if we claim to have no sin, in other words, if we claim not to be connected with what I just read, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all that wickedness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. And I passed on to you what was most important, and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. And he was buried. And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. For we died. Those who believe, we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also will be raised to life as he was. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed and you were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Do you see, church? Do you see how much our Father loves us? For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what it will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. So don't let your hearts be troubled, church. Trust in God. Trust all in me. And this is Jesus saying this. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and I will get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. And in John's revelation, then I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. And he will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen? Remember and celebrate and live the joy of your salvation. I just want to say to you this morning, if you've never trusted in the righteousness of Jesus for your salvation, choose to begin living in his freedom, in his joy today, because today is Resurrection Day.